The date was 2009, and the place is what I've been told is called the blogosphere, whatever that even means, a place for people to rant and rave about whatever they think. Author and psychotherapist Mary Jach, I think I've brutalized that one well enough, Jach, gave subscribers some advice on how to ditch meekness and walk tall. She wrote these words: "The root of meekness is low self-esteem. When our self-esteem is low, we respond to the challenges of life with doubt and fear. If you were bullied, shut up, abused, or controlled, you may well suffer from meekness. I say suffer because meekness doesn't make you happy. It leads to an unfulfilled life. Meekness lets others rule your life. Ditching meekness gives you freedom." Wow. Her company of modern-day psychotherapist friends would have us believe that meekness is spinelessness, it's spiritless, it's doormat-type inclination that invites abuse. In response to this, there was a Christian humorist, J. Upton Dixon, and he played on this common conception by joking that he was planning to start an organization for the meek called Doormats. It's an acronym for Dependent Organization of Really Meek and Timid Souls. Doormats. The symbol was the yellow light on a traffic symbol. And they had their manifesto entitled Cower Power. Now, he was joking, but he sounds like it'd actually be a lot of fun to hang around with. I think I would like to be with this guy a little bit. But what's disturbing about all of this is a thought that many people assume that the ridiculous idea behind doormats and cower power represents the quality of meekness set forth in Matthew 5. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Well, I'm reminded of how Jesus was quiet when he could have rightfully complained or extinguished the evildoers. As we've celebrated communion this morning, I couldn't help but think of this beatitude: blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Because Jesus modeled meekness and now establishes this trait as a defining characteristic of us as Christians. And we've been learning in this series that these statements spoken by the Savior describe what it means to be a Christian. Jesus doesn't focus on outward performance, like going to church or giving or even serving. Anybody can do those things. His concern is much deeper, and he delineates and says how a disciple should be on the inside. A Christian is someone who's poor in spirit by recognizing that they are spiritually bankrupt without God, who laments the losses in life and sorrows over their sins, who cries over the condition of others, who weeps for our world that is lost. A Christ follower is one who is meek, is hungry for the right things, is merciful for others. It pursues purity. It works to make peace in the midst of all of the conflict of this world. And while doing all that, is persecuted for trying to do what is right. I just gave you the whole Beatitudes there, folks. Guess I can stop preaching now. But this beatitude is difficult for us to grasp because some of us equate meekness with weakness. In fact, if you're going to go up to someone and tell them, "You're meek," I'm not sure it would be received as a compliment. It's probably because the thesaurus lists some of the synonyms that aren't flattering. We're docile, mild, tame, soft, passive, spineless. It's no wonder we don't want to be called meek. This is what the word means, but since this characteristic is part of a definition of a disciple, we need to understand what Jesus meant when he said it. Nelson's Bible Dictionary defines meekness as an attitude of humility towards God and gentleness towards men, springing from a recognition that God is in control. That I like. The word meek was used in at least four different ways in context for us to take together to understand how we can demonstrate meekness in our lives. In Greek culture, meekness was considered a virtue that was a balance between too much and too little anger. It's not no anger. It's too much anger versus too little anger. The meek man was neither timid nor given into fits of rage. Greek physicians used the word meek to describe a soothing medicine. If you took too much of the medicine, it made things worse. If you didn't take enough, it didn't do anything. So it was a meek amount of medicine. Meek was also used to describe the wind. Now, if you were outside at all over the last few days, you understand the wind.
Too cold.
Wind can rage. It can do great damage when it blows. But a gentle breeze, a meek breeze, on those 35-degree days, man, that feels just right. And the fourth way it was described was used to describe a stallion. A wild stallion that had been tamed. A broken horse is still powerful, but its power is now under the control of the bridle. The common thread is that in these descriptions is that meekness represents different forms of power that can be used for positive purposes or for evil intent. William Barclay refers to the meek man as one who has every instinct under control, every impulse, every passion, every ounce of strength he has harnessed. Even with this helpful background information and definition, those who heard these words must have scratched their heads. Didn't Jesus just mention in our Bibles, chapter 4, verse 17, that the kingdom of heaven is near? If the kingdom of heaven is coming, shouldn't we be getting ready to go rumble with the Romans? And now he's talking about being meek? I don't understand. Well, one of the most significant questions that we can ask of each of these Beatitudes is, what does this have to do with God? And this is very important because we're called to display the goodness and the glory of God to a watching world. When we live out the Beatitudes, people can't help but see God at work in our lives because these character qualities are not natural. They're supernatural. And John Piper, he writes this, Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount so that his Father would get the glory for the way the disciples lived. If we skip ahead in Matthew 5 to verse 15 or 16, it says, in the same way, let your light shine before all men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. These character qualities are not strictly for our benefit or even for our blessing, but so that others may be attracted to the Almighty God and begin to praise him for who he is. In this, we see a meekness towards God. So in order to fully understand and embrace this beatitude, we need to look elsewhere. Psalm 37. This beatitude is either a direct quote from the Psalms or at least an allusion to it. In verse 11 of Psalm 37, it says, but the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. In the Greek Old Testament, these words are almost identical to Matthew 5, verse 5. So let's see if we can create a better picture by kind of taking these two and mashing them together. Meek people don't worry about why or about what people may do to them. It doesn't matter. Instead of being afraid of what others or envying what people may have, Psalm 37 verses 1 and 2 challenge us to not fret because of evil men, because like the grass, they're soon going to wither. So we need to be meek as Christians. We need to not worry about what people may do to us or think of us, or even what they're doing. The second thing is, meek people trust God. Verse 3 summarizes the meek person's focus. First, it's his vertical relationship, where it says that we trust in the Lord. And then in a relationship with others, we strive to do good. In verse 5, it describes those people who that God will work for them and trust in him, and he will do this. But meek people need to delight in God. And according to verse 4, those who delight in the Lord are those who find their ultimate pleasure in pleasing God. A gentleman by the name of Brendan Manning tells a story about a man named Ed Farrell. And he traveled to Ireland to celebrate his uncle's 80th birthday. And early one morning, they were walking along the shores of this beautiful lake. And they watched the sun come up. And they were silent for about 20 minutes. And then his uncle, who was 80 years old, I want you to picture this, did something really crazy and unusual. He began to skip along the shore of the lake, smiling like a schoolboy in love. And Ed was taken back and watched him for a few moments, and then he struggled to catch up to his aging uncle. And finally, when he caught up to him, he says, "Yes, what are you doing? Why are you so happy?" And his uncle replied with tears running down his face, "You see, the Father is very fond of me. Ah, the Father is so very fond of me." He saw that in the sunshine and saw the beautiful sunrise that God created from, and looked at the beautiful lake and saw all of God's incredible creation and couldn't help but skip along the lake and cry and have tears shedding because he knew that God delighted in him. And we can dance with delight because the Father, he's fond of us as his children. Meek people commit to the ways of the Lord. And the Hebrew word for commit means to roll. And in verse 5 it says, "Commit your ways to the Lord." It has the idea of something so heavy that you can't lift it. You can't lift it to God, but it can be rolled to him. A couple of weeks ago during our potluck, I noticed that there was people working all over the sanctuary to transform this room into our place to eat. And chairs were being stacked, and there was one person who had this stack of chairs, and they're dragging it along. I won't tell you how tall they were, but they're dragging this stack along, doing their best. And along came someone with the chair dolly who just snuck it under and tilted it back and rolled it away. And that's exactly what God wants. That's exactly. We can't lift the load off of us, but we can roll it to God and have him just roll it away for us. Have it whisked away. When we commit our ways to the Lord, we give him what we're concerned about. Our relationships, our jobs, our health, our problems, our fears, all of our frustrations. We give it all to him. We let him take his divine dolly and pick it up and just roll it away. Meek people are quiet before God. Verse 7 says, "Be still before the Lord." And when we're still, we cease striving and we let go and we let God do all the work and do what he needs to do in us. That's so easy to say, but it's actually hard. It's hard to actually quiet ourselves and listen. And listen to God. Because we make so much noise. We love talking about ourselves. Even when we think we're quiet, our brains are still going. But God wants us to quiet ourselves before Him. Meek people are able to wait patiently for God to work. We see this in the last half of part of verse 7, to wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when men carry out their wicked schemes. Too often we get upset and we lose control, even at simple things. We have that knee-jerk reaction to anger that ends up turning into actions, and then we later regret those actions. Instead, we need to wait upon the Lord. Wait to react or speak. Wait for God's direction. Meek people avoid anger. Verse 8 is very moving. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. And since we've rolled everything to the Lord instead of lashing out, a meek man or woman can trust God will work everything out. We can avoid being angry. Because meek people hope in the Lord. We see that in verse 9. Those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. Now our preliminary sketch of meekness must of necessity come from a relationship with God. But meekness must also be exhibited in our relationship with others. You know that there are only two people in the entire Bible that are ever called meek. First, Jesus describes Himself that way in Matthew 11:29. But the other person, Numbers chapter 12, is Moses. Moses, who is even more humble, meek, than anyone else on the face of the earth. Now, I don't know about you, but I wouldn't actually call Moses meek. Several years earlier, he became incensed with rage. He murdered an Egyptian. That's not a meek man. He stood up to Pharaoh. He led the Israelites. That's not what I think of meek. They crossed the Red Sea. He climbed Mount Sinai. He met God. You see, Moses had married this Cushite woman. He was openly criticized by his brother Aaron and Miriam. They didn't like the fact, so they made fun of him for marrying this Cushite woman. And they challenged Moses' leadership and qualifications by saying, "Has the Lord spoken only through Moses? Hasn't He spoken through us as well?" I want you to notice that this phrase at the end of verse 2, "And the Lord heard this." And then in verse 4, Numbers 12, "At once the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, 'Come out of the tent of meeting, all three of you.' And God then vindicated Moses and turned Miriam white with leprosy." Now, when all this is going on, Moses did nothing. Verse 3 says he's humble and meek. His first recorded words in this entire story are in verse 13. When he cries out to God to heal Miriam. Man, that mind-blowing. They've just mocked you. They made fun of you. God judged them for it and turned Miriam white with leprosy. And you turn around and beg God to heal Miriam. When he opened his mouth, it was to intercede for the one who had challenged him. And so we can add to our picture of meekness by saying that the meek must refrain from revenge and leaves vindication with God. John Piper says, meekness is the power to absorb adversity and criticism without lashing back. Meek is a lot of things. David exhibited meekness when he could have slaughtered King Saul. Remember when he went into the cave to relieve himself and David was hiding in the cave? He could have taken his life. No. 1 Samuel 24, David says, the Lord forbid it that I should do such a thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, or lift my hand against him, for he is the anointed of the Lord. He understood it's not his place to do that. And because he delighted in the Lord and he trusted in his timing, he could patiently wait for God to work everything out. And in that, David modeled meekness. I think that the vast majority of us could use a meekness makeover. So here are some tips on how to actively become meek. Study under the Son of God. Listen to how Jesus describes himself in Matthew 11. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In fact, the King James Version reads, for I am meek and lowly in heart. We must first come to Christ to roll our burdens on him, and then we yield to him by taking his yoke upon ourselves. And when we accept, or when an ox takes on a yoke, it modeled meekness. It was still incredibly powerful, but its power was under the control of someone else. And Jesus is saying, I want to hook up with you so that you can walk side by side with me. And we will work and walk through the trials of life as one. And as you yield to my yoke, you will learn from me and discover that I am meek. And you will gradually become more gentle yourself. And you will discover that what I have to offer is a perfect fit for who you are. Because my teachings are not heavy, but easy. My burden is light. Give me your burdens, and I will give you rest. But we must also welcome the Word of God. For if you wanted to be meek, then it's essential that you cultivate a submission to God's Word. The Bible is the bit and the bridle that controls our wild spirits. James 1 in the New King James challenges us to receive God's revelation with an openness and to let it change us. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. Have you welcomed the word regardless of what it says? All of those scripture passages that are hard, we need to welcome what it says. If we are to grow in meekness and yield to the scripture. But if we want to be meek, we must first learn from the master who is meek. We must welcome the word, but we must also submit to the Spirit of God. Galatians 5 mentions meekness, gentleness as a fruit of the Spirit, which can only come from the Holy Spirit. Fruit is not something we do, it's what we display. Galatians 5 says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. The key is not to work harder, but to worship more fully. It's not to try more, it's to trust more. When was the last time you prayed to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Have you ever asked him to make you more meek? Meekness comes about when we surrender to the Spirit. And the Spirit manifests itself in a gentle spirit based upon an unshakable confidence in God. As Walter mentioned, today after our lunch, we've set aside a time for anyone to come and spend time in prayer. It's Pentecost, the day the Holy Spirit was given, to ask God to fill us more, to guide us more, to have His Spirit become more apparent amongst us as a congregation. So I invite you to come and pray, either as an individual or in small groups. I'm not even sure how it's going to look yet. We'll figure it out when it happens. Let the Spirit lead. Well, we need to love the people of God. It's certainly true that it's easier to get close to someone when they're nice. But the truth of the matter is that we all have the capacity to actually attack one another. But in Scripture's meekness is frequently contrasted with words like harsh, violent, unrelenting, strict, severe. And so a meek person seeks to give grace. Seeks to give grace to all those around. And puts up with the imperfect people that we are. Ephesians 4:2 says, "Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love." We need to be reminded that no one is perfect. Nobody's perfect. Except God alone. Your spouse is going to disappoint you. Your kids are going to fail you. Your friends are going to let you down. The church, we're going to drop the ball at times. Your pastor, I'm not going to meet all your expectations. And the time will come when you will have a legitimate issue. You will be right. Whoever else it is will be wrong. And this is the crossroads of meekness. Which path will you take? Will you lash out or will you grant grace and gentleness? Before you make that decision, remind yourself how gentle Jesus is towards the imperfect people just like you. Can we choose to live our lives? We could choose to live them in disappointment and angry with everyone. Or we can be armed with the virtue of meekness and enter into a blessing of authentic community. Be completely humble and gentle. This is the word for meek. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. These are the words of God. Let's live them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love. We thank you that you have given us your word. We thank you that you demonstrated meekness. We thank you that we, through your power, through your Holy Spirit, can also display this meekness, this incredible trait, this trait which is not low self-esteem, which is not being insecure, but is actually truly power, power that has been harnessed and under control. Not our control, but under your control. So we ask that you would work in our lives to help us to be more meek this day. This we pray in your precious name. Amen.